Grab your outlines. Let's work through this together. It's, I thought, a fascinating section of what Paul is talking about. Now, one of the things that you and I all have in common is we all have a body. All of us have this. And what I want to talk to you today about is what our bodies have to do with God. Now, the reason why I want to share this with you is because I want to make sure that no one is misled. Misled to think that Christianity is just a set of ideas, or just a way of thinking, or just a way of getting the soul into heaven, when it in fact has everything to do with your body as well as your soul. It has everything to do with who you are, all of you. God made you a whole person, made me a whole person, and when he looked at creation, he said, it is good. Now, we may not understand everything about our bodies, how it affects our soul. We might not know how the soul affects the body, but we do know that the effects are real. And your Christian faith, my Christian faith, has to do with everything that your body has to do with, whether it's food or sex or sleep, or talking, or smiling, or frowning, or laughing, or playing, or working. Doesn't matter. When Christ paid the debt to free us, when he paid, he bought our bodies as well. That verse 20, the last verse of the text, it says, you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Now, when God paid the price of his son to purchase you and I from sin and from guilt and condemnation, it was to ransom our bodies just as well as our soul. So what does that mean? What in the world does it mean that your body is bought by God? As I was saying, that Christ paid the price for his people, he bought our bodies. So what I want to do is I want to try to share with you this morning of exactly what that means in a practical sense. And what does it mean that you would trust God and you would accept the wonderful blessings that God has for you and trust him with your life, both your soul and both your body? Well, the first thing that I'd like to share with you comes from the text, and it comes from the end of verse 13. God is for the body, not against it. Let me read this verse. Our bodies were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. That's from the NLT. Now, it's very easy for us as Christians to get the reputation that we're against the body, that God is against the body as though all of its needs and its appetites are evil. And the only thing that really is good, you know, the body is good for, is that it's going to get sick, and that as soon as possible we can get shed of it. And that's simply just not true. The Lord made the body, and the Lord is for the body. To be against the body, actually, is to be against the Lord. And our greatest scientists and our greatest doctors really have no idea the amazing intricacy and how our amazing bodies work. The psalmist said they are fearfully, miraculously, wonderfully made. And when the Bible talks of evil desires, okay, it's talking about these evil desires of the flesh. And God is referring to our sinful desires that draw us away from God. That's what he's talking about. And God is not saying that he expects us just to live like spirits who don't need to eat, who don't need to sleep. God knows that even the strongest one of us is physically weak. And he knows that we have needs. And he knows that not all those needs are sinful. And he wants to use these needs to draw us to himself so that we would trust him and not ourselves. Now, sometimes dealing with our bodies, he will miraculously heal us. But not always. There are times with our bodies when he'll take us through a time and a season of suffering. And yet that suffering is going to be with renewed strength. You see, he doesn't want us to turn away from him because of any of the weaknesses or sicknesses or even death. Because God has designed us for something way more than this. He's designed us for something that he sees, that he doesn't want the cares of this world to blind us to the glory of what he has planned for us. And we need to trust him that he actually is in us working body and soul, and that he is for us. Now, some Christians in Corinth, some of the Christians there had the view that their salvation was just a spirit thing. It was just spiritual in nature. And what Paul is doing, Paul is kind of bringing them back to help them see that it's not just a spiritual thing. It actually has to do with your body as well. For example, a couple of our Bible study groups are actually working through Corinthians. And if you've read that, you've probably gotten perhaps to chapter 5. And in chapter 5, the Corinthians were actually boasting about an act of incest that was in the church. And then later on in chapter 11, Paul was talking to them about when they got together to celebrate Holy Communion. They did it different than we did. They had a fellowship meal, and people were getting drunk. They were getting wasted on wine at their communion celebration. And so what Paul is saying is, even though the Corinthians had a very mellow, accepting, go-with-the-flow attitude, he's saying the body is the Lord's, and the Lord is for the body. And that is that Christ is interested in our bodies, and he cares about them. And he actually puts a premium on how we make use of them. Why? You know, this is an important thing. There's two items that came up to me in this text. If we look at verse 12, Paul states two principles for us that can guide us and help us. Verse 12, he says, all things are permitted, but not all things are helpful. In other words, don't ask what I have to do as if we were still under some sort of law, trying to please God, trying to do what we need to do in order to get his attention and get his help. Rather, ask ourselves a question: what is helpful to do? That's the law of love. What is helpful to do? Not only to my neighbor, but to myself. What is helpful that I can do that is good for me to do? That's the law of love. That's the law it's in other parts of Scripture. It's brought up many times in the New Testament. The second law that comes up for us to live under is what's called the law of liberty. Paul mentions this many times, and he mentions it in this verse, that we have a law of liberty. The law of liberty is to let your actions be guided. It's simply this, that the Holy Spirit wants to guide and wants to work in your heart. He is guiding you. He is helping you. Paul says in Corinthians, he says, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And what he's talking about is that whether it is our sexual appetites, whether it is our appetites for alcohol, whether it is our appetites for whatever it is, that you would not be enslaved by that, because God wants you to be free. He knows that you're going to feel so much better, so much more fulfilled, be so much more of use to him if you have freedom and you're walking in that. So it makes sense to me that the very next point that Paul would go into in this section is he would talk about the Spirit. Because Paul says it is the Spirit that has taken up residence within us. It's the Spirit, he says, that your body is now a temple of. He says, he's in you. You've received this from God. We didn't earn it. God just says, you know, I'm going to walk with you and through you in all the trials and all the difficulties, and I'm going to be right there with you, tabernacling with you. And I stop and think, I wish I always thought about this more. I don't know if you do, but it's something that I just pray for, is that I would just realize the blessing of God's indwelling in us. That God has taken up residence within us. And we have this power of the Holy Spirit at our disposal when we are tempted, when we are tried. No, you don't have to earn it. You don't have to, say great prayers. You don't have to do all these things for God. There's nothing like that. God has just done this in his grace. He's come to you and he says, I am dwelling in you. And he wants you to trust in him and avail yourself of that. Oh my goodness, when I think about what a blessing that is. That you could actually, together, we could just receive this. We could just walk in the comfort that this is. What a wonderful gift from God. That's what Paul is trying to get the Corinthians to see. He wants them to rejoice in that, to see that it impacts every aspect of their life, big or small. Even the little teeny things we think God's too busy to be concerned for us about. It concerns you, it bothers you. God is concerned about that. And then the third point that he brings up is why does this resurrection come in here? What's the point of that? Why does he then skip to the resurrection and he talks about that? Because we can expect to have resurrected bodies. The reason why Paul goes to the resurrection is he wants you and I to know that God is all in. God is completely, 100% all in for you. And he will never give up. He will never draw back. And he wants you to be totally assured of that in your whole journey in this life, no matter how you stumble, no matter how you might fall. He wants you to know that he is fully and 100% committed now and into eternity. So much so that he is even going to give you a body when this one wears out, and a body that's going to last forever. He will never leave you. And that's why Paul goes to the resurrection here. Because he says, just as God raised Jesus from the dead and gave him an everlasting resurrection body, so he will raise us from the dead and make us new and whole. No more pain, no more deformity, no more insomnia, no more disability, no more chemical imbalances, no more diseases, no more nothing. That's his plan. He's all in and he's not going to give up. And that's what he wants us to see and take comfort in. And Jesus was rejoicing in that. That's why I mentioned this verse from Matthew 13:43, because Jesus was seeing this in his disciples, and he was saying that he said, there's a time when the righteous, that means us justified in Christ, will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. That's my prayer. I think that should be our prayer. Oh Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Give us ears to hear so that we would hear you speaking to us, encouraging us, helping us. It's not our human ears that can detect this. It's not our human minds. It's not by our abilities that we can do any of this. It is by the sheer gift of God's grace. And God has brought this gift to us, and he wants us to connect with it. He wants us to realize this, that actually our bodies are for his glory. What an amazing thing. You know, if I had the time this morning, I would reach out to members of this church, and I know some of you, as we fellowship and we work together and love together and serve together, I know some of your stories, and I know for a fact that God has made a difference in your body. I'm positive of that. I know that you have been through things, and you can say that God has made a difference, and he has made a difference in me, in my body. And when I think back of whether it's Hawaii or in Hawaii, I would bring Robert, a friend of mine, forward, and he would share with you. I know Robert would probably tell you, man dealing with AIDS, and he would say, God has made a difference in my body. And I could tell you of myself, I could tell you with others, that this is a reality, and this is what God wants you to know. He wants you to understand this. He wants you to receive this. We could ask so many people, and we would get the same testimony that Christ is for the body, and the body is for Christ. And really, what this means, very simply, is that we use our bodies in ways that will show that God is more satisfying, he is more precious, he is more to be desired, more glorious than anything our body could crave. And that is the blessing that sets us free, and that is the joy that Christ had to share with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that it would encourage you and I, that it would lift us up, As we deal with the trials and the difficulties and the aches and pains and the hassles of this body. I am so glad that Christ is for the body. May God bless you and strengthen you and give you wisdom and hope as you live for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.